The Cruz Fiorina ticket.
Cruz can't win. What's he doing picking vice presidents?
Sanders jettisons hundreds of campaign staffers.
They say this is just smart management.
Hospital hit in Syria airstrike.
Among the dead are both doctors and also children.
Pilot accused of flying drunk.
He was over the legal limit to drive a car.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. As the presidential frontrunners Trump and Clinton widen their leads, the candidates struggling to stay in the race are making news, and a woman who dropped out of the Republican battle more than 2 months ago has reemerged.
This is a fight for the soul of our party and the future of our nation.
Carly Fiorina has been picked by Ted Cruz to be his running mate.
It is unusual to make the announcement as early as we're doing so now. Well, I think all would acknowledge this race, if anything, it is unusual.
The move was immediately mocked by Donald Trump.
He is the first presidential candidate in the history of this country who's mathematically eliminated from becoming president, who chose a vice presidential candidate.
But CBS News political analyst Leonard Steinhorn says Cruz is hoping it pays dividends if there's a brokered GOP convention.
It's a good way to brand himself. It's a good way to suggest that he's broadening the Republican tent and softening his own image as he tries to stay relevant.
After losing all but one of this week's five Democratic primaries, Bernie Sanders has laid off hundreds of campaign workers. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
His campaign says, look, 80% of the states in this primary have already voted. And so they just don't need the number of staffers that they did earlier on in this process. And it's also a nod to mathematical reality. They say they still think he could come back, but they acknowledge that it would be a really steep climb.
Sanders is focusing now on winning California. Hailed by the White House as affordable, Obamacare could cost recipients more before too long. Insurers want hikes in premiums. CBS's Barry Bagdano joins us live from Washington.
In a trend sure to be noticed by Republican candidates, many insurers plan to seek hefty 2017 premium hikes to make participation in Obamacare more profitable. They've had fewer customers than projected and higher costs. Many enrollees are sicker because they didn't have insurance before. Administration officials point out states often downsize initial rate filings. Also, insurers next year don't have to pay a $14 billion tax they say they've been building into premiums. Steve?
Overseas, a day of death and chaos in Syria. New airstrikes in the city of Aleppo have killed at least 20 people. Some were doctors and patients at a hospital that was hit. Reporter Rebecca Collard on Skype from Beirut, Lebanon.
When there's so much violence continuing to go on in the city, to lose another hospital, to lose a pediatrician, and of course to lose children in an airstrike on a medical facility is absolutely devastating.
It seems yet another mid-range missile test by North Korea went bad. Reporter Jason Strother is in Seoul, South Korea.
A North Korean rocket has crashed just seconds after takeoff, according to South Korea's defense ministry. If correct, this would be the second time in the past month that Pyongyang has failed to conduct a ballistic missile test.
Still, South Korea called the launch a provocation. Back here at home, federal prosecutors say a commercial pilot flew drunk last year and now faces charges. CBS News transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve.
This pilot, fairly newly hired at JetBlue, was flying between New York's JFK and Orlando and then back from Orlando to JFK. When he landed at JFK to complete his day of flying, he was randomly screened for alcohol. When they gave him a breathalyzer, he was over the legal limit to fly. He was over the legal limit to drive a car. He blew a .111.
The co-pilot says the pilot, Dennis Murphy Jr., who no longer works for JetBlue, was drinking an unknown beverage from a cup before and during the flight. They're assessing damage in parts of Missouri, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and Kentucky, where tornado touchdowns were reported yesterday. And government forecasters say they're going to review warning messages. Monster storms predicted this week mostly turned out to be scattered and fairly minor. A Tulsa jury has convicted a 74-year-old former volunteer sheriff's deputy of manslaughter in the shooting death of an unarmed suspect last year. Robert Bates, who said he mistook his handgun for his stun gun, is a close friend of the sheriff and donated thousands of dollars to him and his campaign. Andre Harris is the brother of the victim.
This victory for my family. I can rest. I can have some peace.
The jury recommended 4 years in prison for Bates. Yesterday, on the anniversary of Freddie Gray's funeral in Baltimore, city police shot a 13-year-old boy who ran from officers with what looked like a gun. Police Commissioner Kevin Davis.
I've been a police officer for 25 years, and there's no way on this earth that I could tell you from looking at that gun that it wasn't real.
It was a fake. As it turned out, the boy is expected to survive. A conservative Christian group says it's got more than 500,000 signatures from people pledging to boycott the retailer Target over its decision to allow shoppers to use bathrooms based on their gender identity. And CBS's Jim Krasula tells us another state has a new religious beliefs law.
Mental health counselors and therapists in Tennessee can now refuse to treat a patient based on religious beliefs. That's the gist of a controversial bill signed into law by Republican Governor Bill Haslam. The American Counseling Association says it's the first law of its kind in the nation and calls it an unprecedented attack on the counseling profession.
In Washington, a House committee has approved a defense bill amendment that would require women to register for the military draft. But the sponsor of it, California's Duncan Hunter, voted against it. He says he only wanted to spark discussion about women in combat jobs. CBS News has learned prescription painkillers were found at Prince's Minnesota estate, Paisley Park. It's not clear if they played a role in his death last week. CBS's Jamie Yukis says local police are looking for help from the government.
They want federal officials to help uncover specific information, what painkillers he was taking, where the drugs came from, and if they were prescribed by a physician.
Toxicology results could still be weeks away. The manager of the late wrestler Chyna says he believes it was an overdose that killed her last week. Anthony Anzaldo says it was apparently a mix of a prescription sleeping pill and tranquilizer. Official toxicology results are not in yet. As we've reported, student debt is at staggering levels. And now CBS's Jim Shenaby tells us.
The Department of Education has launched a new website to help people pay back student loans by finding a repayment option that works best. The site at studentloans.gov offers former students a selection of programs, including Pay As You Earn, which caps monthly student loan payments at 10% of income. Federal student loan debt exceeds $1.3 trillion, and about 1 in 7 borrowers defaults within 3 years after payments begin. Jim Shenavy, CBS News.
Yale University says it's decided to keep the name of one of its residential colleges. It bears the name of John Calhoun, a 19th century alum and ardent supporter of slavery. Yale says history can't be erased, but all should learn from it. The Ivy League school does plan to name a new residential college after a civil rights activist. And that's the World News Roundup for Thursday. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.